My name is Jay Lukowitz, and I'm from St. Charles, Minnesota. And I'm really happy to be here in the summer college training. How about y'all? Amen. Praise the Lord! Really. So our fellowship this morning concerns receiving the Word of God. It's good to receive the Word of God. So now concerning receiving the Word of God, there's a practical way to eat the Word. You know, yesterday we heard our brother Marty say so much about just needing to be practical, right? So this morning, we're going to cover something concerning the practical way to eat the Word of God. Now, earlier this year, when we were in Milwaukee with our brother Ron Kangas, he shared a secret with us. So I have a question for you all. Who would like to learn a secret that will accelerate their experience of what they've received from the Lord? Amen. Right? Amen! This is what we desire, right? So, there's some very good verses in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So, in these verses, they show us how we can actively receive something from the Lord and complete the cycle with what we've received. So, starting in verse 16, it says, "And your house and your kingdom will be made sure forever before you. Your throne will be established forever." So according to all these words and according to this whole vision, did Nathan speak to David? So what do we see here? We see that Nathan the prophet had received something from the Lord. Then Nathan, he spoke that to David, right? So what did David do? David received it, right? Because he brought that back in its content. So this is the first point. We just want to be those who receive, right? It's not good not to receive, right? So we want to be those who receive. So what did David do after he received it? So it's very interesting. In verse 18, it says, "Then." So David first received, then. "Then King David went and sat before Jehovah. And he said," so David was using his mouth. David said, "Who am I, O Lord Jehovah? And what is my house that you have brought me this far?" So what do we see here? Not only did David receive the word, but now David began to ponder the word. But he pondered it with his mouth, right? It's very important that God gave us a mouth. In Psalm 81:10, it says, "Open your mouth." Amen. What happens when we open our mouth? "I will fill it." Amen. Right? If we don't open our mouth, how can the Lord fill it? But if we open our mouth, the Lord can fill it. So, then verse 21. Now this is what David is saying. "For your word's sake and according to your own heart." Right? He's saying this to the Lord. "For your word's sake and for your own heart, you have done all this greatness to make your servant know it." Then in verse 25, "And now, O Jehovah God, confirm forever the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do what you have spoken." Very interesting. Verse 25, "For you, O Jehovah of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore," right? "Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you." So what was going on there? So what David did was he was actively receiving the word, right? And in this way, he was receiving this word from the Lord. Now the secret in what David did was to pray this word back to the Lord. That's the secret. This is what accelerates the experience of what we've received. So with this, we see there's actually a cycle. First, David received the Lord speaking. Second, what did he do? He pondered it before the Lord with an open mouth. Then the third thing he did is he took what he had received from the Lord and he prayed it back to the Lord. So this is actually the cycle that completes our receiving of the word. And some very good prayers that we can pray while we're kind of going through this cycle. Lord, grant me the experiences that I need to constitute me, right? Grant me the experiences that I need to constitute me, the reality of what you've spoken. Do this for the sake of the building up of the body. So here's a very good principle, saints. Whenever we've got something resonating in us from the Lord, whether it's something from reading the Bible, something of reading a footnote, something of a song, something of reading a spiritual book, whatever's resonating within us, what we just need to do is to make it personal. We just need to bring it back to the Lord. So even another good prayer is, Lord, make this real to me. Right? Don't we want the word that we receive to be real to us? Well, this is what we need to do, is we just need to tell the Lord, Lord, make this word real to me. Right? Cause the spirit of reality to work this. Right? Whatever the Lord has shown us, cause the spirit of reality to work this into my being. Now, it's interesting because in principle, Laodicea never completed the cycle. Right? It's interesting. They never completed the cycle of what they had received. It's not, you can't deny they didn't receive something, but they never completed the cycle. So, the degraded recovered church boasted of her riches, but what were her riches in? Mainly in the knowledge of doctrines, right? So, in the eyes of the Lord, this degraded recovered church was wretched because she is proud of being rich in the vain or empty knowledge of doctrine. But in reality, she's sorely poor in the experience of the riches of Christ. So she's poor because she's poor in the experience of Christ and in the spiritual reality of God's economy. So what does the Lord do? In verse 18, the Lord says, I counsel you. Right? What does he counsel her to do? Buy. I counsel you to buy from me. So here you see they had received. Oh, 1 minute, okay. So we just need to come to the Lord with what he's given us and complete the cycle. In this way, what the Lord has given us will become our experience and our reality. Amen. Lord, may this be so.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So good to be with all of you. Amen. Particularly, it's good to be with all of us together to touch the Lord. Amen. I just, in this matter of our morning time with the Lord, one thing that touched me, the title, a little bit what Jay just shared, emphasizes receiving the Word of God. Actually, we are here to receive God. And one example, maybe my most favorite example in the Bible, is Adam and Eve. If we go back to the beginning, we have the principle of going back to the beginning. And we realize that with Adam and Eve, it wasn't so much their contacting God as it was that God came to them. This really touched me this morning as I was considering this matter. And when God came to them, he would come and walk with them in the cool of the day. Sometimes I covet to know what God spoke to them about. I just wonder, you know, there's no real record, I don't think, that I'm aware of what God spoke to them, except how they taught their children, how they lived. They must have been the issue of what God had spoken to them. Except one morning, God came to them. He couldn't find them. And he spoke a very simple word, "Where are you?" This shows us that God has a desire to contact us. God has a desire to fellowship with you. You're not a small thing. In God's economy, you are one of the most important things in order to carry out his economy. Well, of course, God made a way. He couldn't come to them in a way of life at that time, right? He had to deal with this problem. But now we have a way to come to God and allow God to come to us. One of the reasons this touches me, I think, is my first experience of God coming. contacting me was a matter of my just coming to the Lord, I thought, repenting to him. I had no idea what he was going to do, but he repeated to me a verse from the Bible. It always touches me. He just simply said, the Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. And of course, at that time, I was having trouble not doubting that I was a child of God. And so for God to come in that kind of a way, I didn't ask him to reassure me of my childhood. But he spoke to me such a clear word. I didn't even know if it was a verse. And so I looked it up in my concordance. And I seen this was just exactly what the Lord had spoken to me. And so that leaves me with a taste. Okay. I hope all of you dear young ones can have a taste. If you've never tasted the Lord before, I think you have. But I hope that this week you can taste the Lord in a way that you've never tasted him before. And we realize that we're not just individuals tasting the Lord. But the Lord's desire in coming to us is to come to us in a corporate way in order that we could corporately enjoy him, that we could corporately express him. And so we realize that in our contacting the Lord, and the Lord contacting us, first of all for me and I think for you, our most basic need is to know that we're children of God. And so that's why I touched this matter this morning. I'm sure some of us have touched further matters. But to know we are children, that's his first revelation to me. Okay? The next revelation is who he is. And I won't go into a lot of detail on that. We know who he is, right? Lord Jesus. But then the next revelation is his heart's desire. And so we realize his heart's desire is that we're corporately built up to express him. And according to the messages that we've had this week, that we can finish his work. That we can complete his heart's desire. We can be built corporately to express him. Lord Jesus! Lord, cause us to express you. So in our prayer, we begin to realize, I don't know about your experience, my own experience. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, why don't you answer my prayer? And then I realize, because it's not his prayer. And so our emphasis just a little bit this morning is we pray with God's word. Amen. God's word is our prayer. In my own experience, I have to testify, when I pray using God's word, he answers. And sometimes it's not a big boom or a great big happening, but just little by little, he begins to work in my heart. I have the sense that he's exercising to change my being. I need to be changed. I have no way to change myself. But by God coming in, he can speak and reveal himself to us, and the more we love him, the more we have a desire that we could reveal, that we could express him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Receiving the word. On the outline it says, by absorbing God, by turning the word into prayer. The second verse there is 2 Corinthians 3:6b. I'd like us to look at that on our outline. Let's read
day 6, right?
Huh?
Where are we at?
Day 6. Yeah. It's day 6, the morning revival outline. On your outlines, page 15, I think. So, can we just read that verse together, 2 Corinthians 3:6? It starts ministers not of the letter but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Brothers have already shared quite a bit about, you know, the letter can be mere knowledge and kill. But when we touch the word with our spirit, we get life.
Amen.
So, you know, the Pharisees, the Lord spoke to them and he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, right? You think. They were coming to the word with their mind. But he turned them. He said, but these are they that testify concerning me. Right.
He's the essence of that word. But you wouldn't come to me that you would have life. It applies to us. Every morning we come to the word, we shouldn't exercise first our mind, right? We have a song, Glory to God, I'm at the fountain drinking.
Amen.
Sometimes we come to the fountain thinking, right? And we sit there, oh, wow. You know. And we can try all the life practices in our mind, calling even, oh, call for a while, just not breaking through. Now let me take the word a little bit. But we don't touch life.
Amen.
Because we haven't switched to our spirit. Okay? So, also in here it says ministers. Paul said we're ministers of, not of the letter, but of the spirit. Ministers, the brother said, that means waiters. We receive something. Okay? And it's primarily, we get supplied, but it's for others. Okay?
Amen.
When we're young in our Christian life, in the sphere of the church, the serving ones, we're getting supplied, right? But soon we need to be thinking of others, okay? I'm going to draw really quick something here. In the good land, there's Mount Hermon way in the north. Then the Jordan River flows out to the Sea of Galilee. Then it flows down to the Dead Sea, okay? This is full of life, the Sea of Galilee. That's where Peter, James, and John were fishing because there's an inflow and there's an outflow. The Dead Sea, there's no outflow.
Wow.
So all the same riches from the river flow in, but they don't flow out. What happens? It's dead. There's no life. If we only receive supply and never have an outflow, eventually we lose the freshness in our Christian life. So we're getting something not just for ourselves, okay? We touch the Lord every morning to get something to flow to others. And that's the secret of staying fresh and new in our Christian life. Always have an outflow. We get the riches and have an outflow. And that was the problem with Laodicea's deadness. They had all the riches. They said, we're rich. All that was kept for themselves. Amen. So Lord, save us. Keep us flowing out. Okay, then the bottom paragraph. If we merely read the Bible, it will remain in our mind. Right? And in dead letters to us. We will not touch, eat, or drink God, or breathe God. Okay, the next sentence I want you to underline. When we turn the words that we read into prayer, the letter of the word is brought into the realm of the spirit. You got that? We take the word and we turn it into prayer. That's touching our spirit with the word, and then there's a transfer. That's what ushers us into the realm of the spirit. Someone did an illustration once of a match. You know, some of you, maybe you don't know what matches are. In my generation, matches were used to start fires. Now they have all kinds of electronic stuff. Anyway, you take a match, and if you take it and you can rub it on the table, on the floor, and you can strike it on anything, you know, and you won't have any result. That's the mind. The word on the mind, you know, nothing. But you take and strike your spirit on the word, right? And the match lights. The phosphorus lights up. Then that's when the enlightening happens. That's fellowship with the Lord. That's touching the Lord. And it's not that hard. It's not that complicated. Okay, religion puts demands on us, right? With no supply. Demand with no supply. You know, even people, a brother was sharing, he grew up going to confession. You confess your sins to the priest, and then what does he do? He says, okay, now for your punishment, you say these prayers, Hail Mary, whatever, 100 times, and this and this and this. They dole that out as punishment, the prayers. So even, do you think they pray themselves? No, they're giving it out as punishment. Why would they punish themselves? Sometimes our background, we come to these points. Oh, I need to call on the Lord. So we think, we're in the realm of demand. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus. Listen, the O is to get supply, right? God doesn't put demand on us. He wants to supply us with himself. Then everything comes out of that life like a river, right? One brother said that verse. God said, you know, to Israel, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Okay, don't forget, the first thing when you wake up, oh, that O is just opening to receive supply and enjoyment. There is no demand. It's just supply and enjoyment.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I got a story. You know, we were doing the 96 lesson training in Kaliningrad, and we were talking about this. Some were having trouble in their morning revival. Yeah, I tried the calling, whatever. And there was 10 points there. And then we just realized, you know what? We're missing something. Each point says, call on the Lord, speak His name, to enjoy Him. Then turn to the Word, to just be mingled with Him and enjoy Him. Breathe Him in through prayer, to enjoy Him. It's all supply, no demand. One brother who was in that training is a doctor, and he said, wow. And he got up and said, you know what? I just had a patient come in. She was all bent over. She couldn't stand up. And he said, what happened to your back? She said, I was helping the Russian Orthodox priest with the candles, and he got angry with me because I wasn't doing it right. And he said, in front of this icon, you're going to spend, you know, 2 hours praying to these icons. He said, I was down there, and she said, when I got up, I couldn't stand up. That's a picture of demand, you know. But do you think that priest himself would be in front of those icons? He deals it out as punishment, you know. So God wants to supply us. And then He's the river of water of life. Okay, the Lord, at the last day of the feast, right, the great day of the feast, when everyone had eaten and drunk to the fullest, the Lord stood up and said, he who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Amen. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Amen. That's the Spirit. The Lord today is the Spirit. He's like the air we breathe. We just open and instantly we touch Him. Amen. Amen.